hope that wasn't too much of an ordeal. It was a fabulous experience for everyone to sit and just listen to you reading, you know, just a few words and giving us a taste of the books. I thought, just before I open the questions to the floor, I'd just find out quickly from each of you why you wanted to write your book. What was the driver behind it?
I'm a scientist, and I've had the good fortune to go to the Antarctic and to the Arctic regions many times and see the majesty of the ice at our poles. And I've gone enough times to see the ice changing, and the ice is telling a story about climate change on Earth. And I wanted to be able to convey that story to a much wider audience, to people who will never have the opportunity of going to the polar regions. And so that was the driving force, to convey the changes that I have had the privilege of observing to a much wider audience.
Frederick?
Well, you sort of heard from my reading how I got interested. And I spent some time teaching anyway about philosophy and nature science to students, and have always felt that it's important to try to generalize this description in a way that makes it more accessible, and then to turn around and ask, well, what are the implications for the way science is done for the intersection between science and society?
Do you think people have misconceptions about what really goes on?
Well, I do think they do, because there aren't a lot of places they can learn about what goes on. Most people learn their science from textbooks or from scientific publications, and really neither of those explain what it is that scientists do or how they come about the ideas that they learn. Could I just say that I noticed that Einstein made it into 3 out of the 6 readings, which I thought was remarkable.
Nick?
I have a driving desire to try to know, to try to understand where we came from, why we're here, what the world is made of, I suppose, and how it got to be this way. I'm a biologist, and so I tend to think about life, but the whole planet as well. I've taught myself some geology on the side. And it's a thrilling tapestry that writing can take you across, because you're not constrained to being in the laboratory or something. You can, writing a book allows you to ask any question you want. It allows you to address it in any way you want. You have a completely free tapestry, and it's a wonderful, wonderful freedom. And there's a responsibility that goes with that as well, to try and get it right. But I find that I just try to understand it myself, come face to face with my own difficulties, and try and find a way through them. And the writing is my way of understanding the world.
And you don't shy away from some really quite difficult science in your book.
Well, I think the great glory of science is the stuff that we don't know. It's the boundary between what we do know, which is, in a sense, dusty stuff in textbooks, and the stuff we don't know, which is really what research is all about. And I try to get across that boundary between what we know and what we don't know, and the possibilities, the hypotheses, the way we can test them. That's really what science is about. But that means you have to lead people by the hand as far as you can to get to that point on the frontier, and that requires skills that I'm still learning.
James?
Well, when I discovered the achievements of science during the ages and the people who had been forgotten, I just felt that I owed it to them to bring them back to light. They'd achieved so much. They had, as I say in the title, laid the foundations of what is such an important intellectual endeavour, and yet nobody knows who they are, and that seemed to me very, very unfair. And the other thing I wanted to do, which perhaps has a more contemporary relevance, is there's a perceived rift between science and religion, and these are the two most powerful intellectual forces on the planet, and if they fail to get on, we are going to have serious problems. And I wanted to show that the relationship between science and religion has been largely cordial, if slightly tense at times. And I wanted to show that if these two branches of knowledge were able to get on during the Middle Ages, it shouldn't be impossible for them to get on today as well.
And that was one of the really interesting parts.